This Known Leader podcast is presented to you by your friends at Lifeway Student Ministry. We want to help you lead students to know God, own their faith, and make their faith known. You can find other incredible student ministry resources as well as Fuge Camp information at www.lifeway.com/students.
Welcome to another episode of our Known Leader podcast. I'm your host, Rick Prawl, and we're into our third week of study all about helping students make wise decisions as well as helping ourselves make wise decisions. I am still at Centrifuge Camp at Jeunesse Park in California, and I've still got Kent Jenkins here with me from First Baptist Church of Cyprus. Kent, how are you today?
Well, I'm hanging in there.
That's good. I'm glad you're hanging in there because we've got two sessions left to go. You know, Kent, we've been talking about decision making, and this week our question is, what are some guidelines for making good decisions? And you know, we talked last week about how God can help us make wise decisions, and so we're going to look at, you know, specifically some tools and some ideas, you know, related to that relationship with God that will help us. But before we get into that, you know, from your perspective, what are some other ways that students and even adults go about making decisions other than coming to God?
A lot of people, students and adults, make decisions based on impulse.
Right.
There is a reason that grocery stores are laid out the way they are. There's a reason that there's a candy bar right by your hand when you're checking out of the grocery store. Because they're hoping that on impulse, you'll just go, oh, yeah, I could have one of those, and reach over and grab a candy bar. I think a lot of decision-making is based on impulse. I think a lot of decision-making is also based on what's going to make me feel good right now, which may be just another way of saying impulse. But if people are in pain, they sometimes will try to self-medicate in a way that, you know, they make a decision based on, you know, I'll feel better if I buy this, or I'll feel better if I do that, and go for a short-term good feeling as a basis for their decision-making.
Right. Well, and that, you know, as we look at that and all the things that students are exposed to, there are a lot of ways to make, you know, improper and poor decisions. We're going to talk more about that in the next session. You know, this session, as we're sitting down with students, we've talked about, you know, that God does care about our decisions, that he does want to help guide us. And this week, we're going to look specifically at, you know, what are some of these guidelines. We've got four, you know, pretty solid life principles here to help us make wise decisions and to choose wisely, as our title is. First life principle is that we need to take time to pray. We're looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. What do you see there in those verses that we can communicate to students to take time to pray?
Well, I think that these verses are huge in that respect. I come back often to the point of these verses, which is that when Jesus was about to select his apostles, those that were going to be closest to him, in anticipation of that, he spent an entire night in prayer.
Right.
Now, the first thing is that it was obvious by the length of time that he spent there that prayer was a very important part of this. It's also obvious that because he knew he was on the verge of making an important decision, that he went to prayer. The third thing that I see out of that is if Jesus, of all people, felt that it was important to pray for that long before he made an important decision, how much more crucial is it for students and for us to use prayer, to go to prayer before we make an important decision like that?
Those are great, great points.
One of the other things that I look at in this is I've found sometimes when I start talking about prayer with students that, especially if they don't have an established prayer life, they're intimidated by the idea of praying all night. That just doesn't,
right, yeah.
How could a person even pray all night long? And I think it's important that we stress that it's not necessarily the length of time, although, you know, longer certainly is better. But I talk to kids about when I first started establishing a prayer time, it was maybe 5 minutes that I would spend in prayer,
right.
But it wasn't long before it was 15. And then it could be anywhere now from 45 minutes to infinity,
right.
Almost. I
right.
mean, it just depending on what's going on. So it's not, you don't approach it with, you know, if you have an important decision to make, you need to pray all night about it. But it's the idea that you need to pray about it. If Jesus
That's
needed
right.
to pray about it, certainly I need to pray about it.
That's right. And to not be intimidated with that all night, that, well, I can't pray all night, so I'm just not going to pray at all. To stop and pray about decisions.
Yep, absolutely.
So, I mean, it can be anything. You know, when they're faced with a difficult situation, a temptation at school or at a party or wherever they're at, and just stop and say, God, I need your help right now. One of my favorite prayers is James 1:5, where he says, if you lack wisdom, ask and God will give it to you freely and generously. And I often pray and just stop and say, God, I don't know what to do right here. I need your wisdom. You tell me you're going to give it to me in your word. So God, I need your wisdom. And it can be short prayers. It can be long prayers. But you know, we read a lot about Jesus praying in scripture, and you've really set this one up well, is that he had an important decision to make and set the model for us that we should pray about those decisions. Second thing that we're going to look at is not only should we take time to pray, is that we need to follow God's word. Psalm 119 verses 101 through 104. And honestly, we could have picked any number of verses in Psalm 119. It's all about following God's word. But what do you see specifically in these verses that helps us understand in this process of decision-making to turn to God's word?
The writer of the psalm has talked about, I've restrained my feet from every evil way. For what reason? That I may keep your word. I've not departed from your judgments. The psalmist is looking at the word of God and using that as the guidepost. So that's the guidepost for decision making. If I want to make a decision, I want to compare that to what God's word has to say about it. One of the things that to tie this a little bit back to the last point, we talk about taking time to pray before making a decision. We talk about following God's word. One of the things that had a tremendous impact, a huge impact on me, was Henry Blackaby's study of Experiencing right. God. And in Experiencing God, he talks about four ways God speaks to his people today. One is through circumstances. One is through other Christians. But the third one of them is prayer. And the other one is the Bible, his word. And I have always told people since then that I put stock in what other people say, yes. I put stock in circumstances, yes. But for me, when it really comes time to make the decision, it comes down to prayer. And more important even for me than prayer is what I see in God's word.
That's right.
If I can confirm something in God's word, then I know that's something I can move forward with. And the psalmist is saying here that in verse 103, how sweet are your words to my mouth. When we get into God's word, when we spend time in God's word, and yeah, that is the only way to do it, then we learn those precepts and we learn those things, and then we can call those things up. An example I used, in fact, just last night with my kids in church group devotion about using God's word in decision making is when you sit down at the computer or when you sit down at the television and you have something that's tempting to look at that you know in the back of your mind
right.
you've got no business looking at, there's that verse in Psalms that comes up that says, I will set no unclean thing before my eyes.
That's right.
Well, that pretty much makes your decision right there.
There you go. That's a good point. And I love the way the psalmist just describes the importance of God's word, that it will keep his feet from evil paths and guide him and direct him. I mean, so we're looking at, those are our first two guidelines in making wise choices. Take time to pray and follow God's word. Our third one, we're looking at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 24 through 27, with this idea that we need to choose right over wrong. What do you see in those verses?
God's word is so rich, and especially in Proverbs, there's just one after another. But the writer of Proverbs here is talking about living in the way that you should live as a way to help you make the decisions that you should make. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Don't be, again, that's instruction right there. Not to lie, not to gossip, not to say things that are going to hurt other people. Let your eyes look straight forward. You think about keeping your eye on the prize. If you focus first on what God is wanting you to do, what God would have you do, if that is your first point of focus, then it's easier to make the right decisions, because we're faced with hundreds of decisions every day.
That's right.
And each one of those, we can choose the right thing or the wrong thing. If we've got our eyes straight ahead, then we're going to choose the right thing. If we ponder the path of our feet, if we keep our feet on the path that they're supposed to be on, then we're less likely to stumble, then we're less likely to be pulled off of that path by something else. Again, to go back from a previous session, we were talking of passages about the bit in the horse's mouth.
Right.
You also put blinders on a horse, those little things by
right.
its eyes,
yeah, yeah.
so that it doesn't have peripheral vision. It can see only what is straight ahead. And that is what we need to be doing, is having our eyes so focused straight ahead that when decision-making time comes, we're going to make the right decision and not the wrong.
Well, and for a lot of our students, this point of, you know, choosing right over wrong, they kind of get that. They don't always choose the right decision. Sometimes they'll choose the wrong, but they understand right and wrong. This last life principle I want to dig into just a little bit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, the idea of choosing best over good. What do you see there in that verse, and what does that mean to choose best over good?
Choosing best over good is something I think that's important for all of us, because you can do a lot of good things. I know a lot of people who spend a lot of time doing good things, but sometimes they get so busy doing good things, admittedly good things, that they never get around to doing the best things, the right things that really would benefit them the most, that would really allow them to have the most impact in the lives of the people around them. It's important for us to choose, you know, you can look at all of the good things, stack up all of the good things and say, okay, now of all of these good things, I can't do 10 good things. What are the two best things I can actually do? Because there's somebody else that God's got designed to do the other eight. So what are the two things that I can do the best? And of course, this verse brings us to, you know, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, then I'll never again eat meat, because I don't want to make my brother stumble.
Right.
So I'm going to do the best thing so that I can help somebody else see what the best thing is as well. The best thing for me, if it's to abstain from meat, if that'll bring somebody else, then by all means, I'll do that to bring somebody else. You know, I'm reminded also, Paul said, I've become all things to all people, that by all means, I might win some.
That's right. Well, and leaders, as you're looking at this verse 2, you may want to make sure you go back and check out our insights. Again, those are free online. If you're not familiar with those, there's some information at the bottom of your teaching plan to get you to that, lifeway.com/known. Click on our leader tab and follow the links to the insights for this session. It'll give you some more background about that whole verse and what Paul was talking about and dealing with. Well, leaders, as we wrap up the session, again, our question, what are some guidelines for making good decisions? We've got 4 guidelines here in our material this week. Take time to pray, follow God's word, choose right over wrong, and choose best over good. With the point this week we're driving home for our students is that they need to just stop and pray and choose wisely. And again, it comes back to that importance of prayer in our decision making. Well, we're going to follow this up with our next session, wrap up this unit with, well, how do I avoid making those bad decisions in life? So join us again next week.